Welcome to A Lunch with Biggie, a podcast about small business and creatives sharing their stories and inspiring you. My guest today was inspired by living in Florida's little beachside dump. Yes, a dump. And has totally embraced it since we all have a toxic baggage. So why not live toxic? Please welcome the owner, creator, screen printer behind Toxic Roots, Steve Monroe. What's going on, man?
Not much. I appreciate the invite and, love your stuff and always like chatting with you whenever I get the chance.
Yes, so do I. That's the reason why I thought it'd be a great time to kind of have both of us sit down during one of my lunch breaks and kind of just sit down and be able to chat. What, since we're during a lunch break, what's your usual go-to, like lunch or sandwich? What do you got? What's your usual go-to?
My usual lunch? That's kind of a loaded question there, but
okay.
I don't, lunch is kind of a difficult thing for me.
Okay.
I usually don't have a whole lot of lunch.
All right.
Usually it's maybe a handful of nuts or something like that.
Okay. So is it usually just a breakfast and dinner?
It all depends. It depends on my mood.
Okay. I gotcha. And that makes total sense.
So the funny thing is here, and this little antidote I guess I could add here, is that for everybody listening out there, if you ever heard of the disease that you can get from being bit by a tick that makes you...
Lyme disease.
No, it's called alpha-gal syndrome.
Okay.
It makes you allergic to anything that comes from a mammal.
Really?
So you know, no meat, no dairy.
Holy cow.
Stuff like that. Even white sugar. White sugar is refined through cow bones.
So do you usually have like a kind of almost like a vegan or plant-based?
It's a modified vegan diet. So,
okay.
So my food, and ironically on a lunch show is...
Yeah, but I mean, we don't really talk too much about, we're not totally 100% food. So we just kind of, we dabble, sandwiches on the side type of thing. So that's why I'm always kind of curious on what people usually have and eat. That's interesting. How long ago did this happen, out of curiosity?
About 5-6 years ago. And at the time, it was a really relatively unknown disease. I got it backpacking in the mountains of New Hampshire, and took me 2 years to figure out what the problem was.
Holy cow.
So
that's a whole different podcast right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
But if I was to have lunch,
yeah,
it would probably definitely be a big cheese sub or cheese and pepperoni sub.
Okay. I can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with that. So let's talk a little bit about Toxic Roots. Tell people. So Iconi, obviously, I gave a little bit of like a hint or a taste of like, you know, kind of like a small bite of like the little beachside dump. Tell people a little bit about like what's the origin story. Like when people say like, what made you come up with doing Toxic Roots? Give me the story.
Well, basically where we live in Satellite Beach, over south of Cocoa Beach and Patrick Space Force Base. During World War II, Patrick Space Force Base was the Naval Air Station Banana River. And our neighborhood was the dump site for the base during World War II. And so they would just throw, they would bury the trash from the base in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it ranged from... airplanes to Jeeps to household trash to, just pretty much anything that would have come off the base.
Wow.
They buried it, filled it in after World War II. The Air Force took it over and turned it into Patrick Space Air Force Base. And I guess for a while there, they forgot about it and everything. And then along comes the developer in the 50s. And they said,
hey, look, land.
They say, hey, look, the government's got this really cheap land. We can get a really good deal on this. And so they built our neighborhoods on top of it.
Holy cow. And you've lived there for over 20 years, right?
Yeah, we've lived there for about almost 25 years.
So. Wow. That's crazy. What has, basically knowing that, have things happened or come from it, from being living there, or like people around or anything like that?
That throughout the years there's been, series of different clusters of what would you call it? Illnesses and everything like that. Now, whether it's related to the base, one of the things I always stress to people is, is it related to the dump? Is it related to the base? Who knows?
Correct.
We've got so many different sources of exposure in that area that could come from, you know, the space station. Could be people bringing home stuff from working at NASA.
Yeah.
You know, but there was a period in the 60s where a lot of people were getting cancer and stuff like that. Then again, in the 90s, there was another round of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
That was affecting younger kids and everything like that. And then most recently, there was a breast cancer cluster at Satellite Beach High School and everything like
that. Holy cow. So I will say this is pretty heavy, intense stuff on there. What made you go, oh, I want to do a clothing brand, or I want to create a brand based on this? Let's tie that back in. Where did that idea come from? Where you're like, I think I'm going to turn this into this.
Well, we've over the years, you know, we've had several neighbors who have had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, which, you know, the amount of concentration of that disease in our neighborhood is fairly high, from what I understand. I'm not saying that it's attributed to anything. You know, we've had a lot of friends and neighbors who have come down with rare cancers, stuff like that. So that was, you know, that's always, we've always made fun of it. And over the years, we've had groups of people come through the neighborhood to say, oh no, don't say anything about it, because we don't want people to know, because then our property values will go down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because we are less than a quarter mile from the beach. You know, we walk down to the end of our street and there is a beach access.
Wow.
So it's one of those things that's always been on our mind, and we've always kind of lived with the fact that, you know what, why do we need to run from whatever?
Yeah.
Why do we need to run from this? And I was looking at the time, I was looking for a career change. I was doing a lot of computer work, and I just kind of, I've done computer work for 20 years plus, and got tired, got burned out of it.
Yeah.
Plus, I got lazy, and I just didn't really want to keep up with learning.
Yeah.
Constantly learning new languages, new programs, stuff like that.
Were you always kind of hands on as well? Because since you screen print, and I've seen some other projects. You've done projects where like you've helped build miniature golf courses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you've always been kind of like the hands on type person?
It's a curse I have. I'm handy.
Okay.
it's always been one of my curses. I'm the guy that everybody always calls when they need something done. You know, I'm the guy that they call when they need something fixed or repaired. You know, I can take apart a car engine and put it back together. You know, I can do welding, fabrication. I could build a house if I wanted to.
Yeah. So it obviously helps when it comes to building, because I've seen you guys' setup and all the different things, using reclaiming certain pieces of wood to be able to create frames and create different things. I've seen it on your reels and things that you have when you have your setup. So I totally can see that hands-on aspect of it. And I think that's one of the things that adds to your brand as well.
Correct. Yeah. And part of it has always been, you know, we've always been very limited budget. You know, part of Toxic Roots is, you know, there's a factor of cheapness in it, and it's not cheapness. It's been cheapness out of learned for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
That, you know, we've never been people of means. We've never been, you know, maybe that's because, you know, I've always had a little bit, not very good concentration on things.
Okay. I gotcha.
You know, so my concentration, I'm easily distracted, easily able to move on to another project easy. So budget's always been a main factor in whatever materials we use.
Got it.
So that's why you'll see a lot of things that I do are off the side of the road, or somebody has given to me, or something like that.
No, I think that adds to it though, because if you think about it, it kind of adds to the brand based on the fact
that
it does,
and that's,
you know, the brand was based on, it was the dump site. So if you find things and you can reclaim it and repurpose it, it kind of adds to the brand on it. If someone were to be like, hey, Because obviously when you think of that, when I'm thinking toxic, like what are some things, like maybe talk a little bit about some of the themes or some of the things that, or if someone were to, like, you were to approach you and be like, hey, Steve, what's Toxic Roots? Like, what do I expect to see when I go on the website or come up and see you at a pop-up and you guys are selling?
Well, Toxic Roots really is a reflection of our life, you know, or my life or whatever. So when you look at Toxic Roots, it really is kind of, you know, who I am. I'm sarcastic, probably a little bit lazy, probably a little bit scatterbrained, a little bit, maybe not always on focus or on point.
Okay.
So that's why when you look at even some of my designs and everything, you'll look that I will draw something and I will, you know, start off perfect, and I will intentionally make it unperfect. I'm not a big person when it comes to making things perfect.
Okay.
Until the actual final design, and I like my lines nice and crisp and everything, then that's a different story.
Yeah, I know. I totally get that. I know that when I look at your brand, some of the themes that come to me or stand out to me are, like, I see a lot of, like, inspirations from, like, surf, and I'm assuming, like, some skate. I've seen some, like, some tiki, some military, some a little bit of beach life. I kind of see a little bit of that, which I'm assuming these are all things, elements that are kind of either part of you guys as a couple, kind of how it works, or just kind of in general, you know, kind of like your environment of what your brand's about. Is that correct?
I think you pretty much hit it. You know, I mean, it's all kind of elements. And what I kind of try to explain to people that, you know, everybody, when I first started the brand, you know, I was really worried that I was really going to have to focus on the dump, and, you know, and really, really put the emphasis on, okay, we live on a dump. But I quickly found out that once we moved outside of Satellite Beach, that no one really cared.
Or no one knew about it.
No one knew about it. Everybody, you know, but everybody... Right. Everybody got it no matter what. Our typical customer, our customer that really likes us and understands us, they get it right off the bat. You know, and we have people that say, well, why toxic? Why toxic? And I say, Toxic Roots is based on these toxic events that we've had in our life that have made us who we are. You know, if we can't change some of those events or do something about it, then at that point you just need to accept who you are and embrace it.
Yeah.
Because everybody already knows.
Yeah.
I mean, so it doesn't really matter.
So one of my favorite, I will say one of my few things that I always like to kind of bring up or talk about. One is, especially how we've met, like, obviously we've met during an event. So I got to see your setup, which I absolutely love. Cause it's like, it takes, you know, thank God there's two of you, because, and you guys have mastered it. Cause, there is a lot to be seen from everything from there's, like, you know, there's prints, there's designs, there's t-shirts. I mean, it's like, and you have like a kind of like a tiki, you know, it's bright green. It's kind of like a neon, you know, kind of toxic green. You know, so it's great to see. But my favorite thing was during the holidays, I was on a cruise, and I kept bumping into this guy who happened to be on my cruise, and all he wore was Toxic Roots. And I literally was like, and I asked them, and the guy, I was like, oh, you from Florida? And he's like, no, I'm from Ohio, but which is crazy. But the guy, like, literally every single time I saw him, head to toe, hat, different shirt, he's like, oh my God, I love them. They're the greatest. And I was like, this is so great that, to see. And it's one of the things that I love. So I always kind of, I always enjoy when other people, and that's why, like, one of the things, I think I may even taken a picture of them and sent them to you guys, because I wanted to make sure that, you know, that you kind of went the route of, you know, seeing it, because I think for us as small brands, we always appreciate seeing other people wearing our stuff, you know. And I think it's, and to me, it's one of those things that's like I'm prideful, even though they're not wearing obviously my stuff, but they're wearing your stuff. And I was like, it's so great, cause I think you guys are wonderful. So I was like, man, this is so cool. I was like, can I take a picture of you? And it's, so whenever I get a message from someone that sends me something, like I just had someone send me something like, hey, this guy's wearing your shirt at the Magic game. And I was like, I was like, cool. Did you talk to him or anything? And he's like, I'm not you. And I was like, yeah, but you could have said like, hey, nice shirt. Yeah. And I was like, but I appreciate you telling me that someone's wearing it. I was like, that's awesome. So, so that was one of my favorite parts of being able to like that. And the fact that every single time I see you guys always doing events, like you guys are nonstop. So like, let's talk a little bit about the aspect of the business. Is it mostly, are you mostly online sales, mostly in like, mostly would you say better online sales, or is a mixture of online and also pop-ups? Tell me a little bit about kind of like how that works, and then how often, like since the time you guys started, how like what's your like, are you guys doing every weekend? What's the story there?
That's a loaded question
there. I know.
Right now, you know, I would say our online sales are not really where I want to be.
Yeah.
One of the things that in my past, I have a very heavy background in web programming, web marketing. I helped create the Ron John e-commerce at one point.
Holy cow.
You know, so I was one of the founding people of it, and built it up, and then, you know, got bored and left. So I've always done marketing for companies, and marketing companies would never listen to me. And you know, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So you could say, okay, well, you need to do this. You need to keep your colors consistent.
Yeah.
You need to keep your messaging consistent. You need to, you know, put your logo and your brand on everything and anything, and nobody would ever listen to me. So Toxic Roots is kind of my taking, getting fed up with that kind of environment, and saying, okay, well, you guys didn't want to listen to me,
So I'm doing it.
And this is how I'm going to show you how to do it.
No, I love that. I think that's awesome.
So in terms of the events, you know, the number one goal is just to get the name out.
Yeah. How often are you guys doing events? Because I've seen you guys like, I mean, is it like, and obviously during the holidays or the end of like the fall season is a little bit more for Florida folks to do, for us to do more events, because obviously the weather's nicer. But in a case of like, do you guys have a certain goal that you're like, every month we want to try to hit this many, or it just kind of depends? How's it usually go?
Last year was kind of our attempt to kind of flood the market. Or at least like test the market in any way we could. So we really didn't turn down some stuff, but we didn't turn down a whole lot. So I would say from August 1st until up to Christmas, we had 1 to 3 events every weekend, except for 1 or 2.
Wow.
So I mean, I haven't added it up yet, but I think at one point, my guess is we probably did close to 70 events, 50 to 70 events last year.
All right. So this opens up a lot of questions for me. So the only reason I ask is I'm always kind of intrigued on this, because obviously, so I know that you, there's elements that you pretty much do a variety, but it's not just you. There is a team environment.
Correct.
To you and your wife. And you both kind of do a lot, and you both are always the ones doing the events. So like, how does that conversation happen, and where does it kind of go where you both are both like buy in on, hey, I want to make every single one of my weekends this, because I will tell
I can tell you the buy-in was, we need to pay the mortgage.
Okay. No. And that makes total sense, because I mean, in my world, like for me, like obviously I have a full-time job, but I also do Deli Fresh Dreads on the side. There's elements to me that, yes, I would probably love to be able to do every single weekend, but I also know that there's plus and minuses to it. Right. Cause like, there's some events that are amazing, and then there's some events that you do and you're like, well, why did I do that event? I wasted all this time. Right. I could have. And it's hard because you just never know. But at the same time, what you said, it's also creating awareness.
Correct.
So those are the hard parts where it's like, these are the beginning parts where I think you're building the bedrock or the foundation.
Correct.
Of your brand, which are always tough, because for me, it's like always me trying to figure out the balance of like, how many events is too many events? Where are you going? What events do you, you know, as you start kind of doing it, like, I'm kind of curious, are you the type where and I will admit I'm not this person, but are you the type that does, like, you know, you have like a log and you research and you're like, okay, every event, this is like what we did. We did this event. And this is kind of where, what we kind of made. So you kind of know for like, let's say 2024, right, you know, these didn't do so hot as well. Maybe August, because it's too hot and rainy. Maybe those aren't the best times for me to do it. Maybe it's September, hit it September to December.
Right.
You know, what are some things that you guys have kind of learned from doing all these events?
Well, one of the things we definitely do is we keep, a track of, you know, we have a calendar with every event we've done, and we, you know, we, and how much we sold. But one of the things we've also found is that some events where we've traveled 3 hours to and not made very, very much money at all, you know, more or less cover your gas there and your booth fee and stuff like that, that we've got invited to other events. So it's one of those things that, you know, that paid off being a good gamble. So it's really hard to, it's hard to discount a cruddy event for,
correct,
for a,
yep. It's, once again, it's kind of goes, and I'm always going to keep tying this to your thing. It also, yeah, goes back to how you embrace it and how you look at it.
Correct.
Because you can totally look at it in the sense of the bottom line saying, hey, money wise, I didn't do this, but you don't know how many more followers you got, who got what became, correct, later on another guest, or like you said, invites you somewhere else. And sometimes you just don't know. And then when you start kind of sometimes, and those are the things sometimes where it's kind of, you almost have to, if you don't take the time to actually kind of sit back and think about it, okay, oh, I found these people this way. I don't really ever go that route, but I also look at it as, when I do an event, I look at it as, this event isn't a way for me to show exactly what you're saying, my brand off. And if I can get some sales out of it, fantastic, because obviously that's what I want. I want sales. But at the same time, if I can also build and get, you know, kind of build recognition and kind of keep growing, then it kind of helps. Yeah. You know, what would you say has probably been your, like, what's been your most, because you guys do everything from like your sticker, you have stickers. I mean, you have so many different, tell people a little bit about some of the products that you have, product lines besides just, you know, shirts, stickers, you have hats, you have a bunch. Tell people a little bit about what some of the stuff you guys have.
Well, I say that our primary mediums are, medias are screen printing and paper collage. My wife does paper collage, and she actually accounts for a large part of the money coming into Toxic Roots. And as I've always, you know, I've always said that I want to keep art at the forefront of Toxic Roots, which doesn't always pay the bills. And when I first started Toxic Roots, really the t-shirts were kind of supplemental, because I knew that we couldn't start off selling art. Well, we could, but I knew that we wouldn't be able to make very much money. So the t-shirts were just kind of there to support the art. Now, obviously, the t-shirts are a large portion of our sales, but it's actually, you know, probably only about 60% of our sales are t-shirts, and the rest of it is you know, collage art by my wife, art that I've screen printed. I do a lot of screen printing on wood, where I'll paint wood and then screen print on top of it. We have enamel pins, patches, buttons, art prints, magnets, board shorts.
Yeah.
You know, you know, air fresheners. We have a list of about 100 different items that I'd really.
How much of that, like, and a lot of those things. And it's like little by little, I'm assuming you've kind of, it's kind of grown based on either what people have told you or just kind of a mixture of between that and also just kind of like, hey, this is a great, you know, I don't know. I look at things like, what's a low cost product that, that I can create that actually fits within my brand and be able to do it. You know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes I don't really have that mentality. So sometimes I look at an item and I say, oh, I really want this item. And I know I'm going to just barely break even on it, but it's going to support the brand.
Yeah.
So a lot of our stuff tends to be retro inspired. So I kind of tried to look at that kind of thing, mm-hmm, to see what we can do. And again, we've got lots of ideas. We've got lots of stuff we want to do. It's just a matter of, you know, capital and stuff like that.
Yep. No, I totally get that. And that's kind of always the hard part, especially when you're trying to come up with some things like that. Cause like you may have an idea and you're like, I'd love to do this, but maybe have like 20 of them instead of 100 or 200, which is like a minimum or what I need to be able to do to make it. So I totally get that, that aspect. Cause I battle it with it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it gets difficult to kind of play that game sometimes.
Yeah. And one of the things that I struggle with is I want to be able to make everything myself. So I do screen print all the t-shirts myself. A lot of the stuff I do, we do make, and I tend, if we have to have it made by somebody else, I really hate to send off something to China to have it just to slap my name on it.
Yep.
And have it come back. So I always try to look for local people or regional people. Sometimes that works out, and sometimes, you know, it really just doesn't.
And yeah, it's a balance.
Yeah.
It's definitely a balance. I totally get that. What would you say is what's been the most enjoyable part of doing your brand?
That's a good question. I would like to say that I spend less time in front of a computer, but unfortunately, you know, since unfortunately, it's not necessarily true, because I do our website. I do my own accounting. I do all that and everything, and all the promoting and all the social media and all the graphics and everything. So I've just kind of traded it. But the most enjoyable part, I would probably say, you know, getting out of our area and realizing that, oh, you know, our people are out there.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes in our little area, we don't have the open-mindedness that other areas around Florida do. I tell a lot of people that, you know, that we have more friends on the weekends than we do within our neighborhood and within our area.
Yeah.
You know, so we all travel around in the same pack. in the same pack. And so we know if we see each other, then we found our people. And
yeah.
So it's kind of that was definitely the most enjoyable part. And we all talk about, you know, this place and that place. And, you know, it seems to me that every vendor I've met and I've talked to, with the exception of a few of them, are always willing to help each other out, even if they sell the same stuff, just like you sell t-shirts and hats, and I sell t-shirts and hats.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter it doesn't matter, because your customer is not necessarily my customer. And even if it is, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And I love when they're both of our customers, to be honest with you. I love people being able to see people with your stuff and see those things. So no, I totally agree with that. And I totally agree on the idea of like the frienders is one of my frienders, previous guests called it that. And it stuck to me because it's true. You become like that part of that community of people. Cause those are who you see. I end up seeing those people more than my other friends, is who I end up seeing. I end up seeing you guys more than I see some of my other friends, you know, because we're constantly selling at different events. The hard part, and this is one of the reasons why I always tell people selfishly why I do this, is that when we interact, especially me, when I'm selling, cause it's just me, I have like a limited moment. So it's like a kind of like a quick, hey, what's going on? What's happening? Yep. And then that's kind of it. I get to see both of you a little bit more often, because you'll come in and you'll come by and walk and be like, hey, how things going? And as opposed to me being able to do it, because I'm by myself. Yeah. So I totally appreciate being able to have these moments, be able to have this conversation and stuff like that. What would you say has been the hardest part of running this brand?
The hardest part is, you know, it's just the exhaustion when you will have events, you know, three weekend events, and then the next weekend you have three weekend events. And our daughter is, you know, in college, and so we don't worry about her, but, you know, we do have a 12-year-old son at home that's left to fend for himself.
Ever, out of curiosity, do you ever say, hey, why don't you come with us and vend? And what does he say usually when that happens? No, thanks. My daughter says that.
He definitely and we've brought him along sometimes, and he'll just sit down, and you know, he brings a little portable amp and his guitar, and he'll sit down and play.
But okay
But the biggest problem with that is we don't have room in our truck.
That's the other part. So. No, I get it. I totally get that as well. Like that's it's funny that you say that because after a while it becomes like a game of like Tetris or Jenga of just trying to figure out where everything kind of fits. So I totally get the idea of that. When you're coming up with designs, like how would it like, I'm always kind of intrigued by the creative process, like of where you, so like when you start coming up with designs, and it's funny because I'm looking at right now, we're all wearing Toxic Roots. So like when you come up with your designs, where do the design ideas come from? And then the other part is, where do you put it? Like, do you have like a notebook that you just start jotting stuff down? Do you like, is it like a message that you're just kind of like, you send yourself a quick text message of like this? Where do you keep it? Because I tend to have, I'm very scattered. So I have multiple notebooks. I have post-it notes. I have notes on my phone. I'm always kind of curious when like, especially clothing brands, like where like ideas come or a phrase or a saying, where do you put it all?
My method's very much close to yours. I'll take a screenshot of something that will inspire my thought or something like that. I'll send myself an email. I have a regular text note on my computer. I have several of them. One with sayings, one with product ideas, one with T-shirt ideas, and one with just general ideas. Yep. It's all. And then some I just keep in my head. Some I just know that are reoccurring. It just stays in my head and waiting for that right moment.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Where and then with that in mind, do you also go the same route since you design? Are you like, do you have like an area where you're just kind of doodling on like an iPad or a pad of paper that you're doodling ideas or drawings, or how does all that kind of work?
One of my major problems, and I've always said this, is that I'm not a drawer.
Yeah,
I should do it more. I dropped out of art school, so I'm an art school dropout. But even then I was a photographer and a printer rather than a fine art and stuff like that. But mostly it just stays in my head.
And then once you have it, you basically are like, this is what it is. And then you kind of then draw it out, and then it goes from that to print.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Wow. Usually I can do, one of the things people always ask me about is doing commissions and stuff like that.
I've heard that.
And I really don't like doing commissions because for me, the process of getting something out of my head and onto paper or onto a computer screen, it can be a painful process. Sometimes it doesn't come easy. Sometimes it just comes right out. So it just depends on my mood.
Okay. I love that. I'm always intrigued by that. Cause like I come up with, obviously I will doodle some ideas and some things like that. And that's kind of why I'm always kind of curious on where it kind of goes, on how close it goes from an initial idea to where it kind of becomes end.
Usually the way it works though is I start off with my idea and it'll end up being totally something different.
Okay.
So one of my most favorite designs was it was Live Toxic, and it was my play on Live Aloha. Unfortunately, nobody got it.
Okay.
It wasn't a good seller, but it had a really stylized rainbow with a skull in the middle of it and everything. And it's actually started off as something totally different. That's the way it generally works, is something starts out and it's completely.
So I didn't ask the question. When did the brand officially like start? When did Toxic Roots start?
Well, it started, so it was, what was it, 2019? 2021, the brand has officially been since 2 years and 2 months.
Okay.
That's when I officially launched it and everything like that. The idea came from, I was, there's an art show in Melbourne put on by Derek Gores, a good friend of ours and everything like that. And it was called Robot Love. And it just basically kind of a collective of artists who come together and just do kind of wild things. And I was approached by one of our friends who said, you know, you should do a piece for this. And at that time, I kind of had the idea for Toxic Roots, but it wasn't called Toxic Roots yet. You know, I had some designs, but it was all mainly, you know, ripping off Salt Life, Life is Good, you know, so it'd be like Dump Life or, you know, and I called it something bland like SPS Dump or whatever. And, you know, okay. It was like for South Patrick Shores is the okay. name of our neighborhood. But it was really bad. But I designed this this piece of artwork, and it was screen printed and had a surfer with a surfboard that looked like a bomb, with a gas mask on, and with a banana tree and a fruit tree, and it was all being sprinkled by water coming from the shallow well water, mm-hmm. and underneath that it had all the airplane parts and Jeep and stuff like this, and it was sucking up all that toxic water and spraying it into the fruit and soaking, and the fruit was all you know, fluorescent and mm-hmm. everything. So at that time I still didn't have the Toxic Roots, but so I did the art show, and I ended up I was hired to do a bunch of other really oddball things, like a 25-foot wall of TVs that was 12 foot tall and stuff like this, and all these other weird kind of things. So I really, you know, so our friend and Derek Kors were really kind of instrumental in bringing Toxic Roots about. And from there, I had been screen printing shirts and everything for a few other people. And at that point, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I borrowed a screen printer from a friend, and came up with some, I think, 6 new designs, printed up a bunch of t-shirts, and that's how Toxic Roots was born.
Wow.
So.
That's good. That's good. I love the fact that, one, like, you did have an iteration of it, and it kind of just kind of evolved from where it was. And that's always kind of cool to be able to see those things where the evolution kind of goes from it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always kind of the big one. What advice would you give someone if, like, since you guys do so many events, do you guys have any, do you have any tips or advice on when you're selling at events? Like, what are some things that you've noticed that have been, I guess, helpful or beneficial, whether it's, you know, like I always tell people, but like buy the bed risers and put it on your table, so your table goes up a little higher, things like that. Like, do you have any tips or anything like that, that you think that have been helpful for you, that you're like, hey, this kind of helps for us, when we sell? I mean, I always tell people the bed risers, and I always tell people my other big one is, the different tiers of things, because people want to support you, they'll still buy you a sticker from you, and I'll take your money either way. Obviously if it comes a sticker first and then a shirt later, that's great. But if I can get a shirt from you and a sticker, that's even better. But, is there anything that you guys kind of recommend, or, you know, advice from doing events that you've seen has been helpful?
Yeah. One of the biggest things that I always, you know, people ask me, kind of not your answer, not the question you asked, but is that, you know, I always tell these people, is like, just make it, you know, make a whole bunch of it, keep making it, and it'll eventually sell, and you'll eventually figure it out. But if you don't have the stuff, number one, you can't sell it. I think our biggest thing is we try to engage people. You know, we have with Toxic Roots, when people see the word toxic, I would say most people are turned off by it. Most people, they see the skull, they see the toxic. We get a lot of people who think we're a band or something like that, or they just see the bright color. So right there, we've got 3 strikes against us. And so we try to do, you know, just engage people, and we don't engage in a buy our stuff way. One of our big things is we don't force our product upon people. Yeah. If you want it, you want it. If you don't, you're welcome to come in and look around. We're not going to pressure you. Yeah. But I would definitely agree on the price point. We always make sure that one of our local artist friends, his mom always made, he was a big artist now, But his mom always made him make small stuff so that people could afford it. You know, instead of just only having $200 paintings or something like that, you know, you've got to have that $5 item that the normal person can buy. You got to have that $10 print. So I think that's definitely, you know, definitely that. And I think, you know, I'm still mystified that people buy our stuff. And I think one of one of our biggest selling points is that if we can get you into our booth, you're going to buy something because it's a total immersion. And so that's one thing that we've been working on some new designs for our booth layout, and you know, giving it more of a tiki vibe, and maybe incorporate some black lights and some more 3D items and stuff like that. So
I definitely get a tiki, beachy tiki vibe, but with the bamboo and the and that kind of feel to it, you know, kind of island god, you know, type of thing as well with it. So and I think that's great. I think that's especially since your brand is obviously also beach themed in some case, because you guys are from the beach area.
Right.
So it kind of makes total sense. I'm kind of curious because and obviously you said something which triggered me to go, but I'm kind of always intrigued because when it comes to like old designs or a design that you said that the first one, the Live Toxic, right? Was that the first one?
That was one of
early ones. I'm always intrigued by those because of the fact that there's some designs where I think they're, and it happens sometimes, you think, I think this is going to be a great design. I love this design, kind of what your thought process is. And what I've noticed is, and I've been doing this now for 10 years. So I've kind of noticed, like, some people say to me, hey, that you've had that shirt for like forever. And the reason I have it forever is because for some strange reason, there are some designs that after a certain amount of time, I don't know what it is, but it does it all of a sudden, you kind of were ahead of yourself, like ahead of when it needed to come out. Perfect case in point, like a lot of my sports ones, like there's some that people obviously gravitate to, but then I have some that like, I just kind of like, I think they're great. And then all of a sudden I'm like, is this a dud? And then all of a sudden it picks up when you least expect it.
Yeah.
Which is something so it's always hard because you're also in my world, it's like, we're limited in space, of what to bring. And then I don't know if you're like me, I get, you know, I tend to forget that, especially in the world of the internet, that people haven't seen my stuff. So even though like I'm seeing it and I'm stuck seeing it because it's in front of me, that people around me have not seen it.
Correct.
But I'm sick of it. So therefore I don't want to keep telling people about it or showing it. I want to show you new things.
Right.
Which is something that I'm still trying to figure out and learn as well, because I'm the same way as you in the sense that I want this. So I'm going to make this. And then I now added more inventory to my house, to it. So that's one of those where I'm like, I keep reiterating to myself sometimes, like, just because I keep seeing it or I know that it's there, doesn't mean that an old design can't become popular again, or all of a sudden pick up steam and you're just like, what the heck? How did this happen? Because you just don't know. And it's because we just didn't have the right people looking at it at the time. And that's always a tough one. When it comes to it. And that's something that I'm always intrigued when it comes to clothing brands about it, because that, like, a lot of people are like, well, why don't you just kill that design then? And I'm like, yeah, but I feel like it just hasn't hit. Like, so I'm like, I'm not going to order more or I'm not going to make more, but I still have it. And I'm not, at the same time, it's like that weird game of, at what point do you then say, this is a dud, I'm going to slash the price. Or, hey, I think this is a dud, but it might actually be a gem. I just need to get it in the right eyes or the right people.
Correct.
And I just haven't done it.
Correct. Yeah, no, definitely. I think we definitely have those designs. We definitely have, one of the great things about printing my own t-shirts is that I'm only in it for the t-shirt and the labor. So having a bigger inventory, knowing that I haven't really tapped my online audience yet or whatever, is really kind of it's kind of a nice thing. You know, I know that I may be sitting on stuff, but at the same time, it's not, I know that one day it hopefully will pay off.
Correct.
One of the hard things about us is that we do so many different types of events. you know, so on the coast, we'll do, you know, we'll do events for beach crowd, surfing crowd, and stuff like that. And then we do our biggest markets are probably punk rock flea markets. We've always been on the edge of whatever event we're at, so we never quite fit in, and that's kind of part of the whole Toxic Roots brand, yeah, is not fitting in. You know, so when even if we go to the Milk Mart in Orlando, we're not quite, you know, we fit in, but we're not quite.
Correct.
We're not quite there.
Oh, no, I get it.
You know, the punk rock flea markets, you know, we're bright and flashy. We have the same message, but, you know, it's just bright and flashy instead of black. On the beach, you know, we maybe lean a little bit too much into the bombs and the creatures and the monsters and stuff like that. You know, when we go into the middle of the state, you know, sometimes people just don't get us there too. So a lot of times we'll move our inventory around to whatever audience we have, and certain shirts will sell better in one location than the other.
I have that. And I also have the ones where I sometimes think that they're going to do, like, I'll have them like, oh, this shirt's going to kill. And then all of a sudden that shirt does not kill, yeah, there. And it's some other shirt. And you're like, never would I have ever thought, yeah, that was the shirt that was, I would sell so many of at this event. How do you decide where or how far to obviously go? Cause you said sometimes you go in the middle of the state, like what's the furthest you've traveled to sell at an event?
Furthest we've gone is to Savannah, and that was for a punk rock flea market. But, to be fair, that is, we spent, I think, 6 years living there. Still know people there, and, yeah, and her mother-in-law lives.
So it was like a great excuse to,
yeah,
to
so be it's a great excuse. But, yeah, but Savannah, I think, is definitely, you know, I don't think we're to the point. We've had the people wanting us to go to Atlanta for some bigger events and everything like that. And for me, I don't think we're really wanting to do that. I think we would rather, you know, I know that we could reach a lot broader audience. I know that we could pick up new followers and stuff like that, but I don't think we're ready to do that. I think we haven't really made our impact here first.
So it's funny that you say it that way, because that's something that I enjoyed listening to on another podcast, with John Rivers from Four Rivers, and he made a comment that kind of stuck to me, and for a long time that's kind of what I've kind of done, and that was like own your backyard,
right.
And then that's kind of how he would build his restaurants, where he would own his backyard and have his like radius, and then once he kind of built that, then he would go a little bit further out from that radius and then build that one, and then just keep going and building around. And that's why there's so many of them, like strategically spaced in space and areas. And for me, that was a big one as well, is the do like, okay, I want to do more like, and in my world now, it's like, I kind of also want to kind of venture out. So I'm like, I'm looking to venture out more, but it's like, that's always a tough one where it's like you venture out and you're like, well, how far am I willing to go drive out? And at the same time, like, then, and when I do it and it's just me by myself. So it's like me separating from my wife and daughter, and then me going and spending the whole day basically to do an event, to then, is it worth it or not worth it? And that's kind of always the balance. But at the same time, like people in Orlando know my brand. Right. So now I have to get to the point where I need to go to the, you know, to your side of the town, like, you know, go to the beach side, go to, you know, more like Lakeland. And that's why, like, I love like the punk rock flea, like, yeah, Chad's amazing. He knows what he's doing. He'll be a future guest. Cause I've already chatted with him about talking with him on the thing, because I love, like, he definitely has an eye for what he's creating, but he also does it with a purpose, which is one of the reasons why I think why you and I are both in there, is because we're kind of our own. He doesn't want what everyone else has. He wants something that's like, hey, I haven't seen this, but I like this and it's good. And I just need people to know that when they come to a punk rock flea, you know, they're going to get not just the usual thing. They're going to get different things that are just a great variety.
And you're going to get a quality.
Correct. Quality, and that's really the big ones that I think of. That's why I always wondered, you know, cause you guys, I've seen, like, I remember when we, the last time we chatted, You know, we were doing a holiday event and you literally were like, hey, I'm driving. I'm going to go from, you know, you guys, and you guys live by the beach. So like when you come to like Central Florida or anywhere, like, you know, anywhere far, you're going to be, it's like a good hour, 2 hour drive. And you're like, oh yeah, we're going to go to Gainesville the next day. And I was like, well, you just finished this event and we're ending like at close to midnight. What the heck are you guys doing? And you're like, yeah, we're going to go do this. And so I totally like, I love the fact that you guys, that you both, because like there is a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of time that goes into it, because it's not just, hey, I get to set up shop.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to prep all the stuff that I sold. If I sold a lot, then I got to prep for what the event is. Yeah. And then also get ready to be able to figure out, like you said, like what's the demographic going to be? Okay, what are we going to bring? And then to do the prep, then to do the drive, to do the sell. And those are the things that people, I guess,
it's not a glamorous life.
It's not glamorous at all.
Especially when you get up on that Monday morning and you have to do a quick inventory and order your shirts so that you have them for the next day. So you can print them so that you can get them ready for Friday to get loaded up for a Friday night event.
Yeah. It's a nonstop cycle. And it's one of those where you obviously like, you know, and everyone always says it, it's not, you know, you're working 80 hours instead of 40 hours, but you know, so you're not working for the man, but you are the man. But guess what? You're working more hours in order to feed the machine. So that's always the tough part. That's why some of my coworkers and colleagues are like, what the heck are you doing? You already have a full-time job. Like, why are you doing more work? And I was like, I just enjoy it. Like, so, and that's kind of like, what has been your aha moment where you're like, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I'll kind of go back to something you said in the beginning. There's sometimes you get bored and you just stop. So what is it that's the aha or the stable thing that makes you go, I love this, I want to keep putting in the time and the effort into it and not just stop and go on to something else?
Well, I think from right off the bat, you know, even our first event, I mean, with the reaction from people and everything, they were just, I think we knew we had something. I don't think that's a lie. But you know, the cool thing about it is that we get so many, you know, people like you will come up to us that I consider you as to having a, you know, a major brand and stuff like that and an owner. And we've even had people from national brands that started national brands come by and they'll stop and they'll go, oh my God, wow, you guys are doing awesome here. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And they'll buy one of our t-shirts. Oh, but we've had a couple say, well, I've never bought somebody else's t-shirt before, but now I have.
That's awesome. Those are the good feelings, right?
And
there.
You know, so and we get this feedback from, you know, from marketers and stuff like that who actually get it when they walk in, and they understand, and so that's really that along with paying our mortgage keeps us going.
Yeah, no, I told that one's a big one, obviously, the paying of the mortgage. But I will say that I do appreciate when folks like come back and realize it or see it or say it, and like, you know, and it's great when you go to a certain event, especially when there's so many people and people are like, hey, I'm looking, there's very few, like there's like less than a handful that actually get it. And like what you're trying to create and the whole, you know, the whole picture of the brand is like, you know, and that's kind of the big thing where sometimes it's all the different time and the effort and the little details and the little things that you're putting into these things. And those are the things that I appreciate that you guys have created and done because, you know, it's definitely hard. It's hard to create, to create a brand, especially when you're trying to come from where like the base of what you're trying to do and trying to do something different.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we pretty much started from zero, you know, I mean, you know, we've just reinvested everything as we've gone along. So it's never, you know, it was one of those things that we never had, an initial, you know, capital layout or whatever, something like that. No, so I totally get that.
What advice would you give someone? I know you kind of already gave me a little bit of an answer, but what advice would you give someone for wanting to start something?
It's just that you got to do it. You got to do it. And you know what? One of the things that I promised myself when we started this was that I was just going to, you know, if I was given an opportunity, I was going to take it. And that's, you know, I have a tendency not to take opportunities in my past and kind of shut them out. But this was one of those things that I decided to do that.
Well, and I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. I think this is it's great. I definitely think there's there's a lot of legs to it, and there's a lot of things that you can kind of where it'll kind of grow. And that's kind of this is the part where we're kind of, you know, I look at it as when I start seeing brands like ours kind of working, like we appreciate each other's stuff. And so we want, obviously, both all of us, like, I had a guest previously on that kind of was like, had a great line, is like community over competition. And that's kind of where it is. Like we kind of, you know, and kind of what you mentioned with like the ones that have become like your frienders, we all kind of like are willing to help one another. And at the same time, we all want to succeed, even though we may have similar industry or similar things, we all want to be able to succeed on it. And I think that's one of my favorite parts of it is that aspect, because we're all kind of living that dream of like, hey, we want to be bigger and better and grow and have something that, you know, people appreciate and enjoy, because it is, you know, we're obviously at the end of the day, we're a product that it's like a, you know, it's not a need, it's a want. And so that's always kind of a tough one as well. But at the same time, but if people appreciate the message and appreciate what you're doing, and I think that kind of goes a long way with your advice that you gave about like having that conversation. Like I try to make it where I'm not trying to sell you. I hate people that try to like be like, buy my stuff. And like, sometimes I have, like, I'll have friends.
Either that or sitting there and not doing anything.
Yeah. I don't want to look at I'm not looking at you. Or I'm not trying to whatever. It's like a hard balance, obviously, to be like that person. You want to be like social, but at the same time, you don't want to be like, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? You want to, whatever. Like, I don't want to be like the sales guy, but at the same time, you also want to be present, is really, really what it is being present on the whole thing. That and the aspect of also, I have some friends that will be like, hey, wouldn't you like, you know, they think they're helping me and they're like, wouldn't you think you'd look good if you wore this? And I was like, no, dude, you got to stop. Like, that's not how we play. I'm like, that's not the game. I'm like, if you buy, you buy. If you don't, if you walk out of there just even remembering my brand,
correct,
to then either following me or actually telling someone else about me, or heck, taking a picture to send to a friend, hey, this brand has this, you know, whatever, this shirt, I think you like it. What do you think? That's something. And that's kind of the big one that I always kind of think is kind of the big area. Where can people follow you? How can they shop for Toxic Roots? To give people the website and tell people a little bit about where, you know, where and how they can follow you.
Toxicroots.com. Number one, I've got a list of events on there, which I will update shortly. Yep. Well, actually, by the time this is broadcast, I will have it updated since we just sat down yesterday. Otherwise, on Instagram and Facebook, it's My Toxic Roots.
Perfect. You got anything else? Anything else to share or plug or anything like that?
No, I mean, the big deal is just, you know, to get, you know, if you've got an idea, just stick with it. And sooner or later, you'll figure it out.
I guess the big one is obviously actually doing it and not just
doing it. Yeah, you've got to do it, because if you don't do it, then it ain't going to happen.
You're going to talk yourself out of it. I promise you that. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you so much for having Steve of Toxic Roots to come on. I really appreciate it. Definitely check out their brand. If you're at an event, if you see them, you'll be able to see them, because their color, it's kind of a radiating glow, I will say, when you look at it, but it will capture your eye and you'll definitely appreciate it. But definitely check out their brand. Make sure to check them out online. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe. If you want to support me and check out my brand, check out Deli Fresh Threads. And till next time, thank you, and keep eating sandwiches and follow your passion. Thanks, everyone.